Yep, Jack and Mom on here, JC.
Okay. Please rise and join us in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Actually, the idea to move these is Shane, Campbell called me up. He says, you got to wear a mask? I said, well, we can't. He said, can those desks be moved across this? I don't know. I said, they're there. I said, I'll ask Rodney. So I called Rodney and he had a little time that day. So he moved them out. So if we don't have to wear masks, that cheers me up. Anyway, are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
Have none.
None.
We have an agenda. Correspondence. I've got a letter from the Greater Burlington Partnership. The Great River Medical Center reached out. They've, as you know, we've had a COVID-19 spike here the last month. Anyway, and so they're concerned. They've Friday they had a Zoom meeting. That day they had 97 members of the hospital staff that were out.
97.
97 out for either COVID or quarantine or whatever.
Mute somebody.
Turn your sound down, Jim. You turn your sound down.
That's great. Turn it off. I don't know how I'm going to turn it off.
It's picking it up.
It's still feeling that.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to turn it off. Start over.
It says mute.
There you go.
Anyway, they have 27 staff missing a client. So they're talking about flattening the curve. They're a little worried about the holiday season, you know, people getting together and, you know, the unthinkable thought is that somebody would go out there with a heart attack or a burst appendix. Immediate care might not be available. And because they've got rooms, they're just short of staff. Yeah. Calvary isn't coming because there isn't any anywhere else. So they reached out to the Greater Burlington Partnership, and I think between them and I suspect Della at the partnership wrote this letter. Then they had the mayors and the CEO of Great River and I signed off on it. But they'd like me to read this into the record. November 20th, 2020. Friends, neighbors, community leaders, and business owners, we've seen an incredible escalation of COVID-19 across the state of Iowa. On Monday, November 16th, Des Moines County's positivity rate was 22.6. These cases, which include 160 new diagnoses, from November 13th to November 16th represent real people. The virus impacts their health, their families, and their jobs. Although the death rate for COVID-19 is low, thankfully, mild cases result in kids being unable to attend school, businesses closing temporarily, and family members isolating themselves in their homes. Serious cases that result in hospitalization lead to overworked staff and scarcity of resources. Healthcare workers at Great River Health are working around the clock in full PPE while caring for COVID-19 patients. Hospitalizations are at an all-time high, and there is a greater percentage of critically ill patients. This is unsustainable for the caregivers on the front lines in Greater Burlington. We owe it to the healthcare heroes to do everything we can to ease the strain on them. It begins with the choices we make every day. We must slow the spread of COVID-19, and we know how to do it. Stay home as much as possible. When you do go out and are around people, be sure that you stay at least 6 feet away from others. Wear a mask. We can't do anything about the rest of the state, but we can work together to slow the spread of this virus in our Southeast Iowa communities. As we head into Thanksgiving and the holiday season, we ask everyone in Greater Burlington and Des Moines County to make a plan to keep yourselves, your family, and your communities safe. Don't socialize indoors with people who don't live in your household. Don't take our word for it. Federal agencies also recommend this. We know it's tough. When the pandemic began to surface in southeast Iowa 8 months ago, many people thought it would be winding down by now. Unfortunately, our reality is dire. Anyone can get COVID-19, and there's no way to predict how it will affect you. Right now, the choices you make are the only way to avoid it. Please make smart choices and stay safe. I think probably it's just put this in correspondence again next week.
Okay,
and
I can.
When we'll have somebody from the paper here, and there'll be. So let's just do that. One thing we might have to work on for the death part, we might have to make little paper airplanes. Pass them back and forth that way. What do you think?
Might work.
That's what I
did that in school.
I did too, and that's why I ended up there after school. Okay. Proceed to discussion and vote. Was there any other correspondence? I'm sorry.
I didn't have any.
Okay. Discussion and vote. We have a canvas recount of the 2020 general election for District 2 U.S. Representative. Terry, I understand you had a long weekend.
Yeah, very long weekend. Yeah, we were here from 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock on Saturday, and 8 o'clock to, and Shauna and I were here till 9:15 Sunday night. Finishing up the canvas. A lot of that was cleaning up afterwards, but the recount board stayed very busy Saturday and most of Sunday. And they hand counted the precinct ballots, the ballots that were voted at the precincts, and then Chandra and I ran the absentee board back through the election equipment, the scanner, little scanner. We did all of those. We had some persistent people that were wanting the recount board to hand count.
Anybody in particular?
12,800 absentee ballots, but it's the recount board's decision, and a majority of them chose not to hand count those. They hand counted the precinct ones, but they did not hand count. They did the machine count for the absentee board. And of course, one of the members on the board was a former judge and a math teacher. So he kind of sat down.
Judge
and,
Miller.
Yeah, he kind of went down and went over the statistics of how many changes were found in the precinct, and he says it's logical that there's not going to be that many for them to have to go through and hand count the absentees. So anyway, we went through those. We had a few issues with one great big group. We kept getting interrupted, and so many times that it threw Chandra off, because every time somebody walked out, it took us a while to get into the groove of that, but every time one of the members walked out of the room, we had to stop. And there was one point on Sunday when we were stopped for an hour because there was so much arguing going on. And so anyway, we'd have to stop, and there was one very large batch of ballots, 2,500, that we had an issue with, and because we were being interrupted and so much interference that we must have mistakenly ran a set of ballots back through it, because the first time I told Chandra, I said, it looks like we're about 27 ballots over on that stack. So we put it off to the side, ran everything else that we could that day, and then we went back, came back Sunday morning, we ran it back through. Of course, we were still being interrupted, and we came up with 19 more ballots that time. So we put that off to the side, we finished all of our small piles and did all those came out good. So then I informed the board that we had an issue because we came up with 19 more ballots on that large group. And so their first thought was, let's recount it. I mean, this was at 5 or 5:30. So we recounted that, and this time We had no interference, no interruptions. We went straight through it. In an hour and a half, we got it done, and it came out perfect. So we were counted for every ballot that we had ran through that day. So anyway, it was a long, long weekend. And it didn't change the votes a whole lot. It gave Miller Meeks got two more votes, and Hart got three more votes, I think, according. You can look at your report there. It should be Miller Meeks got 9,641. We'll just double check.
Well, Meeks got 9,641, that's correct.
Okay. Rita Hart got 9,268.
That's what I've got here.
And then we had, what, 61 write-ins?
62 write-ins.
Okay,
and 1,096 undervotes and 17 overvotes.
Mm-hmm. So, that's what
the overvote, they voted for two instead of one. Mm-hmm. So that throws that ballot out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people, and you know, the issue is people use pencil, they use X's, they use check marks, you know. If you want your vote to count, follow the instructions. So then that way we don't have to...
It doesn't seem like too much to ask, does it?
No, it's not too much to ask, but, you know, and on the overvotes, no, you can't vote for both candidates, and no, you can't put the candidate's name in and then fill in the write-in and fill in that oval, because the machine count automatically sets that as an overvote. So, you know, people just need to learn to follow instructions. So.
Colin must have told you how to do the job. Thank you, Brandon.
So anyway, that is the recount results, and that's what we need to certify so that we can send that up to the state, because the state does their official certification on Monday. So.
Thank you, Terry, and I apologize for all the wear and tear on you and your staff over the weekend.
It's still not over. We're still working on trying to get everything into iVoters, and then a lot of requests from the campaign for additional materials and information, and it's just, yeah, it just keeps going on.
So both campaigns were satisfied with your counts and recount?
One of them seemed to be satisfied with it.
I'll try to guess which one that was.
I mean, our race in our county was not that close, but they're just looking for any little vote anywhere, so.
There were less than 50 votes difference.
Yeah, I don't even know what it's at now. So.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I think it was less than 50.
Yeah, it was like 47 or something like that.
Out of almost 400,000.
So, yeah, so in every, for if we have 24 counties in that district, if they could find two more votes.
In each one, yeah.
Yeah, in each one. Then that makes it even, you know, even closer. But then it goes the other way too, so. We've had races that have been closer than that, because we had a supervisor race, I think, about 10 years ago, and there was 10 votes in between them, and they did a hand count of everything, and then that person ended up losing by 11 votes.
I think it was 13 votes off, and then he gained 3,
yeah,
and lost by 10.
Yeah.
So, as I recall.
Yeah, it didn't change anything, so.
Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome.
Okay. We need a motion to certify the election results, the recount results. Or we don't.
You gonna make the motion, Bob?
Well, I will if you don't want to.
I make the motion we certify the recount for the Rita Hart and Miller Meeks.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Okay, is there any other business?
I have none.
I have none.
Public input. Is anybody from the public that would like to address the board? You can email us at board@dmcounty.com, that's board@dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4, that's 319-753-8203, extension 4.
Now, does anybody have their tablets open in case any emails come through?
Brandon will do.
Okay.
Brandon, Scott. We will give you, there isn't much to talk about, we'll give you 1 minute, 60 seconds, how's that?
There you go.
To make that call or send that email.
So there's 1,000 undervotes on that, but on our supervisors, there was 9,000 undervotes. Is that normal?
Yeah.
Is it?
It can be, because what they would have done, undervotes, is they might have only voted for one supervisor. But then they consider two votes for each ballot.
Yeah.
So that could be 9,000 undervotes.
Didn't run my campaign right. What campaign I had.
Yeah, for you guys, that race was just a little bit different because it was vote for two, so.
I think it was not a good time to be a Democrat.
No.
It's been 1 minute.
1 minute is right now, Thomas.
Your 1 minute is up with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.